kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Are you seeing God's increase? That's what we're going to talk about today. And I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 5 to 11. We might go on a bit further than 11, but that's basically what I'm going to look at today. So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 up to about 11. Are you seeing God's increase? That's what we're going to talk about today. And the apostle says this to the church: who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he goes on, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Are you seeing God's increase? Father, help us to listen, to apply faith with what we hear, and knowledge and wisdom. We ask this now for your glory in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, as we know, the Apostle Paul, he built this church, or he was involved in laying the foundation upon Jesus Christ. So this church is important to him, and it's a commercial city, it's a pagan city, not dissimilar to like today, in these closing days, where God is still speaking to a remnant, he's still building, he's still the master builder. And we have to see all of these things by faith spiritually. A lot of times what God builds and is working isn't always visibly seen. And this is why it says in the Bible that by the fruit you will know them. Because it is a spiritual work that God is building. We are informed and told, aren't we, that we are seated in heavenly places, far above power, principality, dominion with Jesus Christ. That we are simply just sojourners passing through this life. We know that this life, this dispensation as we know it, is shortly coming to an end, where Christ is going to come to set up his kingdom, his righteousness on the earth, which then will be visibly seen. And of course, the church is visibly seen. It was revealed at Pentecost through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon those believers in the upper room. So since then, there's been a remnant of each century where God is building. But he's bringing that building now to its completion in these closing days. And it is important that we do see what God is doing, that we are aware of him building and bringing it to its final conclusion. And this is why we're calling this teaching, Are You Seeing God's Increase? We are told, aren't we, that we're to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is seeking the kingdom. It is the kingdom that we preach and teach. We know that God has set the doorway into the kingdom in the body of Christ. So with that, let's open up verse by verse by what he's saying here. Because these are workers in the vineyard. Some are building, some are watering, some are planting. They're all diverse and different. So he says, who then is Paul? So he opens up, who is Paul? Who is this man? He's not trying to promote himself. He's not in any way asking for money for his ministry, for his outreach. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Simply ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. So he, as usual, never prides himself or prides those whom he recommended into the ministry, recommending Apollos, Cephas, any of these ministries, not at all, because the apostle clearly revealed that he was the least of the apostles because he didn't want to take any of the glory. He wanted the believers to see it's Christ who is the master builder. And of course, we can get in the way so easily. And very often, God has to open our eyes about that, that we can get in the way of ministering, where it's directed more to us than it is to God. And this, of course, is why we have to be so careful in what we say. I hear many, many Christians who in many ways are blowing their own trumpet, and sometimes they're not even aware they're doing it. It's so easy to draw attention to ourselves and not glorifying the Lord. When we share or we give testimonies or we talk of what the Lord's doing, we so often flippantly say, the Lord showed me this and the Lord told me that and the Lord took me there and the Lord has said this to me that I'm to say to so-and-so. There's so many in the house of God that talk like that. And all that it's doing is bringing attention to themselves. It's not glorifying God. And we note that the apostle, he doesn't come over like this. And he received revelations upon revelations of God, taken up into the heavens. Didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. Saw the risen Christ on the road where he fell under conviction when he was persecuting the churches. God appeared to him, but you never see him come over in that way and manner. And yet you find this so much in the house of God. It's the lack of the fear of God and the understanding of God. It's not understanding that God is the master builder through us. He is the one that's building. He is the one that's reaching out through us to this dying world, giving us the words and the wisdom and so on. There are ways, and I've addressed this before, but there are ways that we can reveal how God speaks. And I've said that one can say, I sense that the Lord is saying this, or I'm impressed that God would have me to say this. It's avoiding God told me, God is showing me, God is speaking to me. Very often that's spiritual pride. And we all of us have to be on our guard. Even if God does speak direct to you audibly, we do have to be on our guard with regard to all of this, because our actions speak louder than our words. There's no problem of a lot of talk in the house of God. There's a lot of hot air. We have no problem with that. Our problem is walking it, living it. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. So he says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. So we're talking here then about planting, watering and so forth. And what, of course, is all that about? Well, it's, of course, about farming. That's where the idea of this comes from. It's about what you eat. And God wants us to eat spiritually, healthily. He produces the best of spiritual food. God doesn't produce junk food. You can find junk food, sadly, in a lot of churches, and it seems a lot of Christians are quite happy being fed spiritually junk food. But the sons of God, the first fruits, they won't want that. No way. And if you look at a lot of nature outside and animals, they don't eat junk food. They're very particular what they eat. And of course, if you take that over into the physical, well, we live in an age of junk food. And it seems that you have to search more and more these days to find wholesome food, organic food, although not all is organic by any means. But we have to be in faith what we eat. There's no two ways about it, particularly now in these last days. They're trying to genetically modify food. Livestock is now injected with all these different drugs, and they want to give them now mRNA and so on. So we have to be in faith also physically what we eat. But I believe if you give that over to God, God will reveal, God will provide, and God will show you. Because nobody wants to eat that stuff naturally. But there are times we may be eating it and we just don't know. But that's why we pray over our food. We have faith in that which we eat. Why? Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. But babes, immature Christians, tend to be attracted to junk spiritual food. And probably we were until God started to get hold of our lives and to show that there is the meat of the word, the spiritual organic meat that he wants us to have. Praise God. Because you see, babes, immature Christians, they think in the flesh. They still think in the carnal, in the mind. They haven't seen yet this higher call. And of course, this is what the apostle is addressing to this church. He's trying to show that there is a higher call. There is the meat of the word. And there's arguments going on. They're arguing over who's the best minister, who preaches the best, who is the most productive, and so on. And you find that in Christendom today. They're wanting to follow those that have got the biggest following, those who have the best education, or those that come over the best, speak the best, what they like. Very often, God brings you under ministry, and the fivefold ministry, they're not probably particularly characters that you would choose outwardly in the natural, which makes it more of God when you realize that God places you under the ministry that he wants you to learn and to grow by. But they're not ministries that you would naturally in your flesh and intellect probably go for or follow, which is very interesting. Why do I say all of this? Because God is the master builder. That is why. So as we see then in verse 5, Christians then are working in the vineyard. And in a vineyard, they all have different jobs and functions. And so because there are different jobs, different functions, different abilities, we therefore see different results of their labour and what they do. But you know what? It's God who gets the work done. And that is what it's about. Even though we have different functions, different jobs, it is God who gets this work done. Why do I say that? Because it says in the scriptures, unless the Lord builds, they labour in vain. So he's the master builder. He's the boss. He gets it done. And he simply wants us to yield over and let him work in and through us. It's interesting, you know, that the farmer who sows the seed, he actually can't make the seed grow. That is a miracle. What he does is he feeds the ground, he waters it, but he can't get that seed to grow. Only God can do that. That's why when you sow a seed, you are seeing something that is miraculous. And that is why the Word of God is that seed, that spiritual seed that's placed into our hearts. And the Word of God washes. That's why we speak much about it's a washing, it's a watering. Because the seed that germinates, that is God's work. That is the miraculous side. The farmer can't do that. He simply has to provide the ground, the soil. He has to provide all of that. He has to sow it. But the growth is God's work. That is miraculous. And it's exactly the same with the man-child, Revelation 12, who is growing, maturing in the womb of the woman, the church. And what is causing that growth, which only God can grow and develop? Well, it's food. And what is that food? It's the Word of God. And the Word of God waters, it washes us, it keeps us in the presence of Almighty God. This is what this Word does. This is why we come regular. Not only to get a good scrub down, to be cleaned up, but this Word, which we mix faith by, which when we what we hear, keeps us in God's presence. Experiencing what? His fullness, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the growing side of all of this is God. He is the one that can only miraculously cause seed to grow and develop. And that is what's so wonderful about it. This is why the cross allows the Lord to work in and through us. This is why he says we take up our cross daily and follow him. What is the cross doing? The cross is dealing with the self, the selfish life in us, what we want to do. We will never choose the right path unless God intervenes in our lives, because we're blinded. And so when we come to the cross deals with death in order to bring about resurrection. You can't leave the cross out of the gospel message. It is the center. It is central. And sadly today, in so much teaching, the emphasis of the cross is not there. They don't mind Jesus going to the cross and paying for our sins and so forth. Yes, that's nice. I've got no problem with that. The problem I have is when God says, I too have got to follow in his footsteps. And where did Jesus' footsteps go? They went to Calvary. And where do your footsteps go? You go to your spiritual Calvary, because you have need of resurrection. It is about seed. The seed has to be sown. The seed has to germinate. And all of that side of it is miraculous. It's God bringing life out of a dead-looking seed. Because that's what they look like. If you look at seed, it's dead looking, dry. You can't think anything could ever come from that. But look, when it's planted in the right conditions, look what comes forth. And that is for us the cross. Oh, I tell you, there is so much revelation that comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. No wonder the apostle said, I boast only in that which the cross, which I take up daily and follow the Lord. He was seeing it. The cross allows the Lord to work it through us. That's why it's called the deeper life in the Spirit. Well, let's carry on with this. Verse 6, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we see the apostle's authority. He says, I planted this church at Corinth. I started this. And that's all he says. He doesn't go on any further. He doesn't give a talk, a dialogue, or eulogy about how it was difficult, the obstacles that he met, or whatever it would be. No, I planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, he recommended other ministry to help water, to feed, to build. But he's aware who gives the increase. In actual fact, the latter part of this verse, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It actually reads in the Greek, it reads of God's continual work. Or it's a continual work of God. That's really what this is saying. So he's implying that this planting and placing ministry is going to be a continual work. It's going to grow. It's a seed that's being planted. And this, of course, is where we get this idea of just a flame, a match that just starts a light, how that light can increase, that fire can spread from just one match. And this is the idea of it here. This is a continual growth. This is something he's speaking out for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in the future. We're up to 2,000 years, over 2,000 years now. And still, this is maturing and growing. It's a continual work. And then we see in verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. There it is again. He's placing everything at the foot of the cross. Because at the foot of the cross, the ground is level for all of us, whether you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whoever you are, we are all one equal at the foot of the cross. No clergy or laity, no lording it over the flock that we have so much today in Christendom. And why does he stress this? Because this stops us taking the glory. Why? Because this church is still young, it's carnal, and they're probably saying, well, you know, planting is more important than actually watering. That planting of the seed through the evangelist is the most important ministry. And he's trying to deal with that thinking because he's saying, no, planting, watering are both essential. What would be the point of planting if you don't water it? And of course, to a certain extent, this is where evangelism has gone wrong. The evangelist goes out, yes, he wants to plant that seed. He wants to see souls brought in, but where do those souls go? What is going to happen to that seed that's been planted into their heart? Where are they going to receive the word, the washing of the word, for that seed to germinate and to grow and produce fruit? You see? But God is always one step ahead to man. Because man will always distinguish these ministries and make more of Apollos or make more of Paul or whatever it would be. And you hear it today. They've all got their favourites. And these are clear signs of immaturity. Whether it's planting or watering, it's the same goal, the same function. It doesn't matter. And then we go on in verses 8 and 9. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. There we are. So we are one in the vineyard. And even those who outwardly don't look very productive will still receive great rewards. There are rewards for all our labour in the vineyard. And we shouldn't look at our rewards, well, somebody's going to get a better reward than me. That's not how it works. Much of our rewards actually is because of faithfulness. You are faithful. You stay with it. You are reliable. That's what is commendable in God's eyes. We know this because we're looking, aren't we, at the seven churches in Asia Minor. Each ending, let him that has an ear. What is that all about? Because God wants you to be faithful, to stay with it. Because God's faithful to us. Thank God that he is. He doesn't change. It's us that change. And we have to remember in these two verses what we've just read, that we cannot work without him. And at times we have to be honest before God and ask ourselves, Lord, am I employable to you? Or am I a waste of time? Because I'm not a very reliable person. I jump from pillar to post. I'm like a grasshopper. But I want to be employable. I want you to build through me for your kingdom. And if that's your heart's desire, he'll do it. And you'll see that you are employable. And you'll see that your Father takes the light. He's glad that he employed you. He invested correctly in you and me, which cost him his life. We are his investment. And he doesn't make a mistake, those whom he calls from the foundation of the world. I tell you, Jesus is the best boss you'll ever have. That's why we're going to marry. We're the bride, he's the bridegroom. He's after a wife for his son. And a wife, a good wife, is always the backbone to her husband. And they work together as a team. But he has that headship. And that's what this is all about, as we work together with him. So he says, now, he who plants and he who waters are one. That's what they are. That's what I've been talking about. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labour. So we're all labourers in the vineyard. We're all different, doing different works. But the end result is the same. And of course, we get this idea of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, where it's a living organism. An eye, an ear, an arm, a leg, and so forth. Again, we get that similar idea. For we are God's fellow workers. So there he is. God is our boss. You are God's field. You are God's building. So there's a field. You need land to build something. You can't just build it on anything. You have to have good land. And you are God's building. And so that spiritual land, if you like, is the rock of Jesus Christ. We're being built upon him. See how he gives these worldly analogies, these things that we know and see in the world, and how he turns them spiritually so that we understand. So we can confidently say, I believe FGA can confidently say, we are God's building for his habitation. And then we move on in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. So the apostle again reveals that he laid this foundation by the grace and mercy of God, by God working through him. And he says, be careful how you build on this. So Paul found the church at Corinth, which we've been telling you. But Paul is aware that it took grace. So there he doesn't boast in any of it. He said this happened because of the grace and mercy of God. God chose to have mercy in this pagan city, to have his foundation, to have a remnant who would worship God and turn away from those idols, because it was so idolatrous. And he said, this was done according to the grace of God, which was given to me. As the Apostle Paul, he sought God, didn't he? He sought God three times, that thorn in the flesh would be removed. And he said, my grace is sufficient. And the third time he learnt it. simply because of all the responsibility, the burden of the church, everything upon him. At times in his flesh, it got too much. And it, for us at times, it feels as though it's just too much. I know some of you have been sharing with me, you know, as we're going deeper and maturing and we're getting nearer to the coming of the Lord, that just times it feels it's so much, it's too much. I'm going under, I'm crumpling under all of this. And you call out to God and it's like God says, my grace is sufficient. And suddenly just that energy revitalizes you. It raises you up. You can't understand. It's difficult to put it in words because in the natural, we should be going through a breakdown like most of the world is. Or panic attacks. But we don't. He raises us up. And all of that is achieved by that cross that we take up daily and follow the Lord. And he does it. And the Apostle Paul is experiencing the same thing. As a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. And the Apostle Paul knew that others would come and build. And he had concern, reservation about this, because he speaks about how you build, how it will be tested. And we'll look at that in a minute. He was very aware that there were others who would try and come in and hinder this building. Try and avert the believers, deceive them. Try and take their eyes off the Lord, and they're all around us. We've had attacks, even in this assembly, in the past, who've tried to avert our attention, who've tried to hinder this building that God is doing through FGA. Yes, it's had its attacks. But God is the master builder, and all the while you keep your eyes and heart on him, he will build and continue to build. And that's why we opened up with the first church at Ephesus, where it lost its first love, because he was warning, he was the builder, building that church, and you're losing sight of the one who builds, because you're getting too busy and caught up, you see. So praise God, he's always one step ahead, isn't he, all the time. And verse 11, he says, For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there he brings it right to the root, right to the center. He said, it's Jesus Christ I labor, I build upon. And it's easy to lose sight of that, who you're building on. And we must never, ever lose sight of who is building in and through us as we labour in the vineyard. And finally, in verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each works of what sort it is. So here you've got to mix the wisdom of God and what man says, or what man is saying, because we have many voices speaking out in Christendom. Thus says the Lord this, and God is saying that. But we need to apply wisdom with what we hear. Because there are many in the house of God whose foundation, sadly, is not very secure. And you don't want to follow that. You only follow the foundation where it is secure. It stands upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Because you need the right spiritual materials in which to build. And that's what he's saying. He's talking about gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or straw. Notice these are materials. They're all materials that we are very familiar with. For example, you can't build a foundation out of straw. You can't build walls out of hay. No, the only foundation, the only material that will stand is gold. And everything will be tested, shaken by fire. And this is why I believe so strongly we're in the times of shaking now, as it speaks of in Hebrews. And God is going to shake everything, the heavens and the earth. And only the right materials will be able to stand that shaking. And it depends what you have put in those materials for this spiritual building. And that is why we stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And the nearest natural understanding that we can apply to that in the world is gold. And why gold? Because gold will stand up against fire. It may change its form, but you cannot destroy gold. Fire can destroy everything else, but not gold. You see, God never gets it wrong, does he? And that is why, as we close now, the Apostle Paul says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And that's why we go through our fire and purification now. Are you going through trial and testing? Yes, of course you are. And you're not running away like most of the world do. Why is God testing this? Because he wants you to know that you have that spiritual gold. And that spiritual gold is Jesus, the rock on which you stand upon. Have you come through a shaking, a trial just recently, and you've come through? Praise God, that's a sign of gold. So count it all joy when you go through these trials, because it's God showing you and me something. And we can take comfort out of this. Because God wants the right materials used. Because gold can stand any heat. Gold can stand any trial. And that is the material to build by. Hallelujah. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that that's been a help and encouragement. Are you seeing God's increase? I believe we are, by the mercy and grace of God. The increase isn't always what we think, but I believe that increase is exactly what the Bible says, by the fruit you will know them. That is what God wants. That is what he wants the world to see, and that is what he shows off in and through us, the fruit of the Spirit, that love, that agape love, that love that will love the unlovable, will go that extra mile, that love, his love that he's putting in and through us, that is the gold. That is what stands the test and will stand the test, because God is shaking and we are moving rapidly towards judgment, and the seals and the vials shortly to be opened. And nobody wants to be around at that time, because to put it quite graphically, that would be like hell on earth. And most will be burnt up because they're wrong materials. They don't stand. But you stand in Jesus Christ and keep your eyes always upon him and never look to anything or anyone else. Praise God.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.